Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by and welcome to the Chorus NZ Investor Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, and at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star followed by one on your telephone. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, Friday, May the 4th, 2012. I would now like to hand the conference over to your first speaker today, Chorus CEO Mark Ratcliffe. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon or good morning to you all. Mark Ratcliffe here. I'm joined by Andrew Carroll, Chorus Chief Financial Officer, and Vanessa Oakley, who is the Chorus General Counsel and Company Secretary. We wanted to quickly run through our initial assessment of this morning's Commission ruling and then quite quickly move to question and answer after that. So I'm going to ask Vanessa to give us a bit of an outline on what the draft decision actually says and what the process is from here, and then ask Andy to make some comments about what he sees as the immediate impacts on that. So I'll hand over to you, Vanessa.
Thanks, Mark. So just for context, I'm sure you're all aware that changes were made to the regulatory regime last year that accompanied the landscape change when Chorus demerged. Part of that change was around copper pricing. The Commission was requested to average the unbundled copper local loop price as part of those regulatory reforms, and that would apply from 2014. The Commission also has the ability to review copper pricing at any time, as was noted in the scheme booklet last year, and it indicated that it was also intending to review the de-averaged copper pricing. In November last year, the Commission completed the averaging of the UCLL price at a weighted average of $24.46, but it indicated that it intended to carry out the other review, which it's doing now. The draft determination today has been released for consultation, and it does relate to Chorus's access copper access services, as mentioned. The draft decision is complex, it is a draft, and the Commission has stated that it seeks a robust consultation process which we'll participate in. The Commission has indicated a final decision is intended around mid-August. The draft decision primarily relates to UCLL, or the Unbundled Copper Local Loop Service. The proposed average price in that draft decision is $19.75 to apply from 2014. In the period leading up to that, there is a proposed glide path for urban prices moving from 1984 to 1975 and the rural price of $36.63 moving to 1975. Broadly, there's three drivers that have led to these numbers. First, the Commission has chosen to do a completely fresh benchmarking exercise. Secondly, US data has been removed from the data set. And thirdly, the comparability criteria has been relaxed, and this means that more European countries have been included, which the Commission says is necessary for a credible data set. Connection charges have also been proposed to be reduced, and they're located on page 10 of the draft decision. In relation to the subloop unbundling price, this has in the past or currently has been linked to the unbundled copper local loop price. The Commission has said that it, in its draft view, that it's inappropriate to apply a straight flow through going forwards, and has indicated that it will open another separate process in relation to that price. In relation to the unbundled copper low frequency voice input service, it's important to note that the Commission has also indicated here that there will be a further process. Today, that the price of that service is linked to the average UCLL price. However, the Commission has said and noted that because this service uses the full length of the loops and is not affected by cabinetisation, it may consider and is taking submissions on whether it should do a Schedule 3 investigation to reconsider the pricing principle that should apply for this service. Therefore, there is an issue to be considered in the submission process about the decoupling of that price.
Thanks, Vanessa. Andy, if it's positive, to you.
Thank you. I was going to add a few brief and preliminary financial thoughts. As you're probably all aware, we haven't provided any financial guidance to date. Our initial assessment is that the near-term financial impact of this draft decision, if finalised, would be modest, talking about 90,000 lines. The impact increases progressively until 2015. How significantly the Commission's decision will impact us longer term is subject to a number of variables, including Commission's future pricing decisions, including this UCLL pricing decision, and customer preferences in terms of how they respond to those pricing decisions. Neither we nor investors have a lot of certainty right now in terms of where this might all land.
Okay, look, we weren't looking to say much more there. Happy to answer questions there, and I'll hand back to the operator to remind you there. What I would refer, this is an investor call. I know we do have some media people on, but we principally would like to deal to all the investor questions first, and should we have time at the end, deal to any inquiries from the media. So if you could respect that in terms of there. So, operator, I'll pass back to you, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. We'd like to request any media queries to happen after investor queries. Your first question comes from the line of Tristan Joel. Please ask your question.
Afternoon, guys. How are you going?
Hi, Tristan.
Just a couple of questions. The first one is relatively straightforward, which is you're saying that you know, around 6% of the current base, and I can't remember what the exact number was, is directly impacted by this decision in isolation. Can you just give some further colour on that, being how many of those lines or what the split is between urban and rural? Because it seems to me that probably 90% of them would be urban and therefore subject to a very, very minor decrease.
100% of them would be urban.
Right. Okay, the second question is a little bit more protracted, but I guess when we get to 2015 and we're constructing an averaged price using around a 1580 urban underlying, and I think it's a 25 rural, presumably as that moves forward through time and UFB takes urban customers away, presumably you would expect that averaged price to increase as the percentage of rural and urban, or the percentage of rural within the copper mix, increases. Is that a fair comment?
I think we'd say that's a possible outcome, Tristan. And I guess that really depends whether the Commission's view is looking at the total cost of providing the service and dividing by the number of lines, but it is, the copper price is subject to ongoing change, so it could well be that they take that approach.
Okay, and then the final one, I know I said two, but I'll do three, is just any thoughts on impact potentially on the RBI, given the glide path is somewhat peculiarly geared towards rural price decreases?
Not immediate thoughts had gone to that, Tristan, and you know, thinking on my feet is that largely the RBI services that we are providing are cabinet-based services rather than exchange-based ones, so at first blush, without giving it much thought, it would indicate no change at all there. I mean, we are providing fibre to schools, but a lot of the coverage objectives of the service are met by Vodafone.
Okay, no, that's excellent. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Tristan.
Your next question comes from the line of Sameer Chopra. Please ask your question.
Hi. My question was about the impact on fibre take-up. How does this skew the economics and keep customers on copper as opposed to fibre? I'm wondering, like, you know, if you look at an average RSP, and say you're looking out towards 2014 or 15, what are the relative economics between copper and fiber, and why would RSPs be more inclined to stay on copper rather than fiber?
Look, I think we've indicated that we think there probably would be some impact here, but in the couple of hours this morning, we haven't had any real chance to assess that. I guess what we are saying is that the continued movements around in the copper regime tend to focus the industry too much on copper and not enough on fiber.
So the and are you able to give us a rough dollar number on what the 2014 revenue impact might be? Are we talking 2 to 3 million, 10 million, 20 million, that sort of thing?
Not at this stage, Samir, but I think if you work on 90,000 odd lines by the price changes you see in the draft determination, you'll get to a relatively small number.
Well, yeah, you also have to look at some whether the 90,000 lines would increase as a consequence of this decision.
Yeah, those 90,000 lines are mainly metro as well. Is that what you were saying to Tristan as well?
Yes, they are.
Okay, so that realistically,
I was given that I was probably a bit too bullish in saying 100%, but it might be nearer Tristan's 90.
Yeah. So it means
but if the vast proportion of them are metro lines.
Yeah. So theoretically, this doesn't really affect revenue or EBITDA in the next couple of years.
Not this decision in itself, but there is, of course, uncertainty now introduced around other copper-based services.
So again, Samir, if you do the maths using the material that the Commission has provided on page 9 of their draft, you can do the P times Q across through to 2015, but as Mark suggests, you know, the longer term implications for impact on industry dynamics is harder to predict.
Yeah, but they're not changing the local service copper price, right? Because the way I look at your revenues, you've got local service, ULL, and then sort of fiber and broadband. They're changing ULL, but they're not changing local service copper pricing.
They're indicating that there is more work to do in that area, and that's why.
Right. Yep.
There's some uncertainty there. We've only really dealt with the UCLL part of the copper services to date.
So that is the new process that Vanessa has alluded to.
Just to recap, so it's linked to the average UCLL price, but the Commission has indicated that it may consider another process in relation to that.
Right, yep, thank you.
Thanks, Sarah.
Your next question comes from the line of Adrian Albom. Please ask your question.
Good afternoon, guys. I just wonder if I could please focus on the impact on post sort of 2000 and or December 2014, like you've indicated that there's pretty modest impact up until then. I guess if the draft decision sticks on UCLL and they don't decouple, and effectively they decouple from the price from the product that Telecom concerns, which is the UCLFS, am I right in thinking there would be a reasonable possibility that Telecom will look to unbundle exchanges at that point? And essentially, the volume of lines that is exposed to this pricing reduction increases dramatically. Is that the right train of thought?
I think that is probably the first thing to say. Won't change the volume of lines affected because the exchanges where you're most likely to unbundle have already been unbundled by other people already. So there is alternative there. It's just that it's not Telecom's. Got the ability to unbundle. Where I think you are right in thinking is that Telecom clearly has market share of some significance in those exchange. So therefore, you open up the number of retail service providers that can provide services there. So that does change the mix. But in the immediate term, those places have already got unbundled already.
But if you focus on post December 2014.
It gives them a common opportunity, yes.
Just confirm if this is correct. Telecom at that point has the ability to consume UCLL, right? So it has the ability to switch from its current product, which is UCLFS, to UCLL.
If it makes investments in DSLAMs which it doesn't currently have.
Sure, but clearly the other impact, if it makes investment in those DSLAMs, then you'd also lose your UBA revenue, presumably.
Yeah.
Okay. Second question, is there any fallback if there's no change to the final decision? Like, is there any appeal process after that?
There is the ability to appeal on a question of law, but not on the merits. There's also been some uncertainty in the industry around whether what's called a final pricing review can be applied for, which would lead to a TS LIRIC cost modelling exercise. The Commission's draft decision has proposed a view that would be available. We need to review that further.
Okay. And just final question, probably for you, Vanessa. When you look through, and I appreciate you've only had a couple of hours to look through the document, when you look at the peer group analysis, is there any obvious kind of areas of retort that you can sort of see at this stage?
I can assure you that we will be reading this fully and making robust submissions and reply in the process.
Okay.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Richard Eyre. Please ask your question.
Yeah, hi guys. Just some clarity on, I mean, if we look at, obviously this has an impact today on the UCL lines, which you said is obviously, you know, 90,000 of which 90% are sort of urban. But if you look at Telecom's sort of baseband product, which they buy from you, which is obviously a bit of a sort of bundled up product, am I right in saying that this does not have an impact on the baseband price as it stands today, and we need to see what happens with the UCLF rates and how the regulator looks at that in the future to see whether that baseband price changes in the future? Is that correct?
Yep, that's right, Richard.
Okay. So at the end of the day, from a modelling point of view, as we look at it, it's just the 90,000 lines that are affected by this, but the bulk of those are already on an urban rate. So the financial impact today and even into 13 is probably minimal, but we need to actually have a broader view in terms of how the ComCom looks at the UCLFF rates and how that impacts baseline product pricing in the future. Is that correct?
Yep, spot on.
Okay. Okay, that's great. That's great. I just wanted clarity because I think
that's really obvious.
There's some confusion of whether there's a broader impact on the baseline product today. Thanks.
Your next question comes from the line of Greg Main. Please ask your question.
Good afternoon. Just a quick one. Just on that Telstra remodel, if you were to go down that option, what's kind of involved there, and does that defer when the price changes occur?
Well, I'll get Vanessa to answer that one, Greg.
Yeah, I think at a high level, I mean, it would be a very detailed process that would involve building models and a submission process, which we're all used to in the context of the regulatory processes. I didn't catch that.
Would that defer the Commission's ability to change prices until that model was finalised?
So I think the question is, if there was a final decision made and then you...
Backdation?
You then said, well, we want to look at the TS LIRIC route. What would apply while you were...
Oh, sorry, yes. The final version of the draft today would apply until such time as if there was a final pricing review and new determination, that's correct.
Would there be any clawback possibility then if the model showed a different price and they've already adjusted the price below where the model would apply?
Yeah, look, backdating is something that often comes up in regulatory proceedings and would be discussed presumably in those circumstances.
Yeah, but if they lower the price and then you were to do a Telstra model and the price came out higher, then it's kind of an interesting scenario, isn't it?
It is.
I think others would argue it's an equally interesting scenario if it goes the other way, Greg.
Yeah. Likewise, but I was sort of wondering if it's a mechanism you can use or not.
Look, I think it's one we're going to look at, obviously, closely.
Okay. Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Ari Decker. Please ask your question.
Oh, hello guys, it's Jeff. It's Amy here actually. I was a bit slow on the keypad today, so the questions have largely been asked. But just on that TS Lyric issue, Vanessa, I mean, am I right in saying that despite all these determinations, you've never actually gone down that TS Lyric path?
That's right. There's never been a full TS Lyric determination made in the New Zealand regime to date.
Yeah. And is it fair to say that the reason for that is that, you know, this benchmark goal set the outcome, if you left the commission to go and work it out on a spreadsheet, they'll come up with a spreadsheet with the same outcome, or?
I couldn't possibly comment on that, Jeff.
Right. Look, just on another issue, can you remind the UCLFS product, how many, who obviously Telecom's consuming this, but others can too. Are you able to give us some numbers on who else is consuming it, other than Tel?
I think that is just a product that is available to all, but consumed by what?
Right, still consumed just by Tel at the moment.
Sorry?
So it is still
mostly
just...
by Telecom, too.
Yeah, okay.
I think it's consumed by Telecom in relation to the fact that they buy a baseband service from us.
Yeah. And just coming back...
One of your other people drew quite a useful diagram recently that explained how all these things work together.
All right. But just coming back to the whole fibre incentive issue, which is sort of discussed in the middle of the report... am I right in sort of looking at it and saying, well, you know, what matters for the fibre incentive is what happens in the urban areas where roughly three quarters of the lines are, which is, you know, a rough proxy for the footprint of UFB in the first place, so i.e. nothing much changes in terms of the incentive?
I think the high-level message that I've taken from the draft decision that I'll be taking away and working on is the Commission said it's noted the relevance of Section 18(2)(a) of the Act, which is around recognising new investment in UFB, and it hasn't made any adjustments at this time, and we'll consider that and what the submission should be around that.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, where UFB resides, which is largely in those metro areas, the urban price, from 2014, the average price is still roughly the same at $19.80. Look, that was all from me. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, I think the comparable is one you have to think about is the comparison between the UFB price and the UBA price, which is probably the more relevant comparison because those are both layer 2 products.
Yeah.
Hey, your next question comes from the line of Andrew Levy. Please ask your question.
Oh, thanks. My question, I just want to get my head around the potential number of lines that get impacted by subsequent decisions. So if we sort of scroll forward to FY15, my modelling, there's still about 90,000 UCLL lines, but of your 1.7, 1.8 million lines, if this, what are the flow through ramifications for this decision? Is this input also possibly flow through to UBA pricing as part of the construct, and if it does go to the UCLFS price? So is it the case that 1.5 million lines or thereabouts could also be affected in a few years' time?
Well, I think that's what the uncertainty is there, because all the lines are copper lines. So, you know, that is a possibility, but I think what Vanessa explained earlier is that the Commission is deciding whether it should look at lines that are not UCLL related in a different manner to which it currently looks at them.
Absolutely, but think the pressure is clearly on the downside to, you know, even if they don't adjust by the same amount, and I think they've said that it probably isn't appropriate to do that. It's on the downside. I guess a question for Andrew: have you started thinking about could this potentially impact your ability to pay your dividend while you're unsure, just because of the uncertainty that it brings in?
Well, I think, as we've acknowledged, it is going to take some time to work through the longer term implications of this, and the board has made no decisions around dividend policy for 2013 and beyond, and this is obviously something that we would need to factor into that analysis.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Your next question comes from the line of Richard Eary. Please ask your question.
Thanks. I just want to ask just a follow-up call, just to talk obviously about TS Lyric. I think Tristan asked the question, is that clearly as we go forward, the number of rural lines within the framework will increase as a percentage as the urban lines sort of migrate to UFB. And I think going back to, I think, previous presentations when we've sort of raised questions about increase in terms of cost bases to support more number of rural lines. When you're sort of doing your TS Lyric modelling as we look forward, I mean, I presume there is a risk that, as you flagged on the call, that actually the average price goes up through time just because we get more rural lines in the mix, and also the fact that we do get some diseconomies of scale to actually support those lines. Is that a fair comment or an unfair comment? I'm just wondering, when you're putting your submissions into the ComCom to look at your modelling process, you know, once we go through the route of actually having more rural lines, which obviously has a higher cost, and we get some diseconomies of scales in terms of supporting those number of lines, then, you know, if it is an incremental cost model, then clearly there is the ability for the price to go increase through time rather than actually reduce current prices.
There's a range of possibilities, Richard.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Mark.
Thanks, Richard.
Your next question comes from the line of Ari Decker. Please ask your question.
Oh, hello again. Sorry, Mark, just a quick clarification, because it's a lot of products out there, but you'd mentioned, you know, the relativities between UFB and UBA, but just to clarify, the UFB is an integrated layer 1 and layer 2 product that's sort of, you know, the entry level price of $37.50. The UBA product is effectively a layer 2 product, which is, you know, roughly $21, I think. In terms of comparing apples with apples, we're adding UBA and UCLL to get the naked price, right?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Well, that was all. Thanks.
There are no further questions at this time. Please continue.
Thank you. I don't know whether there were any media people on the call. Well, I think we'll assume that. Look, I think, just in terms of closing, I do think it's a shame that the industry now appears to be centred around a range of processes on copper pricing rather than the business cases for investment in fibre after a significant landscape change. I think what it is important for Chorus that we'll be analysing all parts of the process and making vigorous submissions on your behalf as we go forward. So thank you for your time today, and we'll talk soon.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect.